Coming up on TMS, we won big at the PCAs last night.
Current Geek is off to a nice start.
Giant rubber ducks burst onto the scene in Taiwan.
Israel wants you to pay for a very controversial procedure.
Downton Abbey might be on its last season and no one told you about it.
Steven Seagal might run for office.
Oh, shite. Kadalarha checked into rehab.
Eric's app review.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
It certainly is a big bun.
It's a very big bun.
Big fluffy bun.
It's a very big fluffy bun.
Where's the beef?
Some hamburger places give you a lot less beef on a lot of bun.
Where's the beef?
At Wendy's, we serve a hamburger we modestly call a single. And Wendy's single has more beef than the Whopper or Big Mac. At Wendy's, you get more beef and less bun.
Hey, where's the beef? I don't think there's anybody back there.
You want something better. You're Wendy's kind of people.
If this makes you dizzy, it's not the dancing. It's the altitude.
The morning stream.
This is The Morning Stream, and we're gonna need a bigger boat.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Morning Stream. It is The Morning Stream for Monday, January 6, 2014. I'm Scott Johnson, sitting in for Brian Ibbett.
Yeah.
You heard him at the top of the show. You went, what the hell is this? It's Mr. Justin Robert Young on the line, everybody. Hello.
I know. I can just imagine everybody with an askew look like Rick Tamlin in Anchorman saying, you're not Brian. And I'm not.
No.
But I will do my best.
You're a reasonable facsimile thereof.
No, that's an insult.
Is it?
To Brian. Yeah,
okay.
No, that's an insult. No, I'm going to do my best to not make the show awful.
Well, listen, it's you're a regular dude on here anyway. If in 5 minutes from now, everyone's just going to go, oh yeah, okay, this is fine. They'll be excited for Brian to come home. Everything will be normal, but you'll fill the shoes nicely, and that's what we needed today. You're not the guy we want. You're the guy we need.
Yes, the guy we need right now.
Right.
It's an honor to be on, and I'm very, very excited to make sure that there's a two-man morning stream today when there might otherwise have not been.
Yeah, had there been one, that's no good for anyone, and not interested in that business. But I can tell you this, it's an interesting morning because we're coming off a couple of big wins at the 2013 Podcast Awards held in Las Vegas, Nevada yesterday.
Now, don't be modest. You guys balled out of control.
We kind of swept it. We swept it a little bit. Although I smell a little controversy, and I'm not sure. Maybe here's the place to bring it up. I don't know. But we were nominated for two other shows in the video game category for The Instance, for The Final Score. And I actually thought The Instance had a pretty good shot. Final Score, maybe. But it's fun.
The Instance, I mean, like numbers wise at Frogpants, certainly The Instance was.
It's a big one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it's up there. TMS and The Instance are kind of neck and neck right now in terms of overall numbers. So.
And really, everything that has come since then was born from the popularity of The Instance.
I would say I would definitely say so. I mean, back in the early days, ELR was going strong and things were going well, but The Instance just suddenly eclipsed everything and became huge and was enough to kind of propel a lot of other action and things to happen. So
like other stuff has become, I mean, people have come to Frog Pants for things that are not necessarily video game or WoW centric.
Sure.
But that was the bigot.
Yeah.
It's
the fat guy at the table. You can't ignore him. He's going to sit there and do what he does. And I'm, you know, eternally grateful for that. We won in 2008. We've been nominated every year they've done this. It's all good. It's just that category looked a little sparse. So when the nominations came in, I went, oh, that's right. And I remember saying this at the time. Rooster Teeth doesn't categorize their show as a video game show anymore because they were just sort of sitting around talking about everything but video games for a while.
Yeah.
And they were taken out of that category. And I swear to you on my grandmother's polyps that she...
Yes.
Which I keep under glass on a nice piece of felt.
Good. Yes, you should protect it like a Fabergé egg.
Right, it's important. So I swear they weren't in that category and that they weren't even nominated. They had not there was no Rooster Teeth anywhere near. They've got a legion of fans who will make them win no matter what they're nominated in ever until the end of time, and that's great and it's awesome and I like those guys. They're cool. I've met a couple of them. They're great. It's not a competition issue, but I swear they weren't in there. And last night, when they're doing the awards, they throw them up on the screen. There they are.
Yeah.
On the list. And I went, what? How are they on that list? And then, of course, they won because that's what they do. And I swear they weren't there. So if somebody can, like, screen cap or archive.org or something proof that was the case in October, that they weren't really there.
You want to know... I'm going to go ahead and spoiler alert how this ends.
Okay.
They were there and you forgot.
They were. Oh, you think so?
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to go by like massive conspiracy for which Rooster Teeth gets implanted into that category at the last minute,
yeah.
Or you just kind of forgot, I'm going to go ahead and bet you just
you're going to go
forgot.
With just forgot. All right. Fine. Yeah. Controversy where there is none, ladies and gentlemen. So,
but
so,
let me say this though. There's another. I like fantasy football. Yeah. I listen to the ESPN Fantasy Football podcast. Mm-hmm. They are obsessive about the podcast awards.
Yeah, they love them. They show up every year.
They
too.
Actually, I think they got banned. The football podcast got banned from the People's Choice Award because they won it so many times.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So this year, I don't know if it was banned, might be a harsh word, but I think that they were no longer eligible for it.
Okay.
So they have a baseball podcast that on their football podcast that I listen to, they would plug relentlessly for people to vote for the baseball one, and you guys beat them. This very show beat the marketing muscle of none other than ESPN Low. The Disney Corporation itself.
It's not ESPN Ocho. This is the real, this is the big one.
Well, it's ESPN Podcast, which is probably the lowest form of ESPN that they offer, you know.
Right. I think they just like to come to Vegas is what I think, because they were there last year. So I was at the awards last year, and we were nominated in multiple categories and lost all of them because I had a little experiment, two-year experiment. I'm not used to doing this, but for 2 years I tried something, and it was... Last year, or what would have been the 2012 awards, I did no pushing, no telling people of voting, just mentioned it once that we were nominated, and then let it go, and let's see how this goes, right? Well, how it went was, didn't win. This year, we pounded it into people's heads that, hey, you can vote every day, check it out, these shows are nominated, go support your favorite Frog Pants people and all your friends on extended networks and all this stuff, and let's get some wins going across the board. And sure enough, we won just about everything. So I feel like I gamed the system a little bit. But
but that's the point, right? For the podcast awards, it is a website that would look up to the Drudge Report in its HTML stylings. You know, they have this deal with the New Media Expo. Uh-huh. Like, so everybody comes there. But really, it's just so everybody on these podcasts kind of mention the podcast awards.
Yeah. You've just done a thing that it reminded me of why I don't like the Drudge Report. It's got nothing to do with political slant. It's got nothing to do with coverage of anything. It has everything to do with... That is like a GeoCities site that was built in the 98.
But you want to know what? It's so terrible that it's now brilliant.
Yeah.
Because now, in an era of a billion different CSS tables and Ruby on Rails stuff that'll like crash your browser, the Drudge Report loads in a fraction of a second on any device.
Yeah. Big gnarly picture of Obama with a crosshairs on his head or something.
Yeah,
boom,
half eaten sandwich or something like that. Or like Chris Christie with his butt crack hanging out. Like,
yeah, and it's great. And it reminds me of why I also hate Craigslist, because I can't buy things on Craigslist. Why? Because it looks like I'm hunting around Usenet in 95.
You know, that is an absolute truth. And it blew me away when I moved to San Francisco, because people actually use Craigslist.
Yeah, of course they do.
Like, it's the way of the world. Like, business people will say, like, oh, Johnson, well, don't worry. We can just go ahead and pick up something on Craigslist. Yeah. It won't be a used couch or a hooker. It'll be something important, like a mahogany desk.
Yeah, all those things. Actually, the entire range of things you just mentioned are available right now.
Right now.
On Craigslist.
On Craigslist. They're not a supporter.
Yeah, go check it out. It'll support IE 2.0 even. I mean, that thing's so old.
I'll tell you what got some support. Mm. That's that their current geek podcast.
Oh, yeah, it did really well. Oh, wait, I almost forgot. Before I do that, I got to play these clips of the wins. So FilmSack won for best film and films and movies related category. Which is nice. So here's that.
Film Sack.
So that's them yelling. Now here's the thing. The guy that did the awards is that kind of weird, lumpy, bald dude from Heroes. I don't know his name. Because Drew Pinsky was supposed to do it. Right?
So really?
Last year Leo did it. This year was supposed to be Drew Pinsky. Pinsky got stuck in New York because of all the snow.
Yeah.
So he couldn't come. So they had the guy. I guess he was already there for maybe CES or something, but the dude, the kind of lumpy, bald dude from Heroes, and I can't remember even what he did on that show because I hate that show so much.
Wait a minute. Was he the puppet master guy?
Yes, like that's
villain
the guy.
From season 3 after it was terrible?
That's the guy, I think. Right? Yeah, he could control you. He'd look at you real hard and kind of rumple up his face and you'd do stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, he's the guy.
I think he might have been on Deadwood too.
Oh, was he really?
I think. Was he not the...
A bunch of people just got excited because you said Deadwood 2, and it made him even more excited because they think that's a sequel and Deadwood's coming back. Nope. Sorry, folks. No. Rumor only. I don't know. Was he a guy in Deadwood? I have no idea.
I think that guy might have been on Deadwood. I don't know.
He might have been, but he was up there talking. Here's the Coverville win for Best PodSafe Music Award.
Coverville is your winner.
So Brian went up and accepted that, which was nice. We won for a comedy on TMS. So here are the big winners for TMS. Here's this one.
And the winner is The Morning Stream.
Just listen to the smattering of applause.
Fantastic.
Yeah, good stuff.
Fantastic. Yeah, that's great.
He was really into it.
Pull that onto the board. That's great. Whenever anything is like, you know, really mediocre, you can just have that dude go fantastic.
Now the final one and the most important one is the People's Choice Award, which was bigger than the other awards.
Now let me ask this, because any of these kind of industry awards tend to get, I mean, they are by their very nature self-involved.
Yeah,
you are there to see if you win or your friends win.
Sure.
It's I think for this particular thing, I don't know the tenor of the room, but if I were to guess, I don't think that everybody was slapping each other on the back and really excited. But what I'm trying to say is that I would guess that at the end of the event, there would be less people in the room than the beginning of the event.
I would agree. Yeah. Yes, for sure. Last year it was true as well. They did do this thing, though, where it was in a small kind of little tiny room offshoot thing last year. And this year it was in a much bigger space, like the big kind of keynote space.
Yeah.
Which is cool. But I talked to the guys, everybody that was there, Steven and Nicole and Ivet, of course, and others, and they were, Chin Beer was there, and she showed me some FaceTime video of what the crowd looked like, and it, you know, it wasn't like terrible, but it was kind of sparse, you know, it wasn't like packed.
You know, I feel like it should be in the back room of an Arby's.
It really kind of should be, right?
Like, just have that back room be a freak show, and everyone's going nuts, and like pouring soda on each other's heads,
right.
Like.
Right.
That's the way to go with that.
Think about it. It's like Nerdtacular. 800 people is great in a room that barely holds them. 800 people in a giant arena that normally, you know, Bon Jovi's there. It seems real dumb. You know?
We're just going to seem like a bunch of lonely nerds.
Right. So it's not their fault. It's the freaking venue's fault.
Yeah.
But here's us getting the award for People's Choice.
People's Choice category, The Morning Stream.
Now, what made me sad is the People's Choice category undersells what the People's Choice Award is supposed to be. It's kind of the big one. It's like Best Director, or it's like Best Film. It's supposed to be the big one. And instead, he kind of treated it like, and the final category, whatever. He was thrown in last minute. Okay. I got no ire toward this guy. He was fine.
Let me also just say this. Like, for a living with the Go Games, we run these Go Games, and then at the end of it, everybody comes back to a room and we kind of show off the stuff that they did during the game. And at the end, I go through the winners. on an iPad, I have songs queued up that I can play when I announce a winner. So there's like a fun moment of everybody getting up from their seats and coming up to select or to get their prize yeah. that they have gotten.
Yeah.
It does not take a lot. It is extraordinarily simple. There's a reason why at every award show they have music and then like the Morning Stream has been nominated for the People's Choice Award right, for 4 years. Right. They have already won for this, and the other. Like, it's because it's awkward and weird. And yeah. also what happened there where it's just like, ah, and everybody's clapping and then they kind of stop clapping. And then I'm sure there was a big awkward moment where everybody yep. got to go up and say something. Yep. But there's a pause there. Yep. There's a reason why music's there.
Yeah.
Use some music podcast yeah. awards.
They did some, but it was super muted. You could barely hear it. And it was great in its kind of pod safe quality. Like it's, we bought this on a CD for $50 online and it was one of the tracks, you know?
It could only be more internet if they actually had the audio like watermark on it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It was just like freesounds.com.
To upgrade to a full account, click here. Yeah, that would have been special. You mentioned earlier Current Geek. I'm.
Yeah. I'm going to go back on the.
Oh, go back.
You mentioned before we started recording there was a funny NSFW thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. So the funny thing last year, we were there last year. It's in the Rio. We're in there. The spirit of Penn and Teller is everywhere you look and everywhere you stand.
Indeed, yeah.
And we're in the room, and it's the smaller room, and Leo's presenting that year, and they've got their stuff going, and they're up there fiddling with the PowerPoint like they always do. And they... in three different cases last year, screwed up and advanced the frame to tell us winners of something before they announced the nominees.
That's awesome.
So just a bad click. Now, I know the solution is so easy. It's just put an interstitial frame in there that says, and the winner is, so that if you advance by accident, you can go back. Just create one more layer of redundancy there. It's not hard. But I thought when all that happened, and I even suggested it while I was there, I thought maybe they'd do that this year. That they wouldn't screw that up. So their very first category is Best Video Podcast.
Yeah.
NSFW, of which you are a part, was nominated in that category.
Indeed.
And they hadn't even gotten to the start of the awards yet. They got these two giant screens up, three screens, sorry, middle and two sides. And they advanced the frame to show the winner of the first category before they even get up to start the damn awards. I don't know what's going on. Like, immediately I get texts from Brian and Nicole going, oh my gosh, they did it again. They did it again. It's like last year. They were freaking out because they were... And they only happened once. So credit to them for not doing it.
And they got it out. They got it out right at the beginning.
Yeah. It's just it's a hoot and a holler to watch those guys kind of fumble over themselves. But I'm a little surprised. Well, whatever. Dan Has a Podcast is a huge... That's
I think
a
it's
huge,
Rob.
Yeah,
I think
or it's Rob. Is it Rob?
Yeah, not Dan. I don't know. Dan, that might be his brother.
He's like a Survivor cast member or something, right?
I, to be honest, I had heard of it, which is not to say that it's not gigantic, because I'm sure it is. Mm. But I hadn't heard of it and went to go look at the website today, and he seems to have all sorts of crazy crap together. So,
well, there was a time in our internet lives when we all knew everything that was big. You know, like there was a certain kind of, oh, well, yeah, if you're on the internet, then you know about these 12 things. You know about Homestar.
Because there were only 13 things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was it. And you just didn't know. But these days, it's just not that way anymore. There's a guy in Singapore probably with a YouTube channel with 50 billion views that you just gonna have no idea exists. And that's fine. That's okay. Yeah. TMS, same thing. Many, many people don't know about the show. It's up to you, dear listener, to let them know. And as Veronica Belmont would say,
how about a booby?
That's right. How about a booby indeed? So she was on with Terpster, Mark the Terpster Turpin, myself and Tom Merritt in our inaugural relaunch episode of the Current Geek, which happened on Friday. We were thrilled. It went really well. We're firing up the charts in our respective categories, which makes us very happy.
You guys are top five on the old iTunes.
Yeah, which is great. That makes me extremely happy. And it's all because people are awesome. So thank you for your support. We're glad that people liked it. We haven't had a single piece of like negative anything, which is good. So we're going to keep it up and look forward to more. This week,
I'm just glad you're giving Tom, you know, just a little break. You know, he's down on his luck. He's been panhandling throughout the streets of Los Angeles. He's
yeah.
just, He's just there on Skid Row, and I'm glad you're giving him a shot.
It's been a little rough, you know. You want him to, you want a guy like that to find his way back and to, you know, to get himself in a good place. And I'm here to, yeah. I'm here
He's
to.
Just there, you know, on the streets of the City of Angels with a cardboard sign saying "We'll talk about things for food."
Yeah,
it's a rough way to see him. I'm going to be honest with you, folks.
Yeah. The irony is not lost on me that they won TNT one for best news podcast.
Tech podcast.
Did I say news? Yeah. Tech podcast. So props to him, to Iaz, to Sarah Lane, Jason Howell. Yeah, of course.
And obviously, I mean, you know, I think that was a fitting way for that version of the show to go out. Because I know, I mean, as a listener, everyone's kind of sad to see it splinter, you know, and all the familiar elements sort of move on to different things, but yeah, it was, you know, for that version, man, it was the best.
It was awesome. So watch Tom's new one because it's a lot like it, and it's really good.
And I'll say this, you know, and I know I think everybody at Twit has said that, you know, TNT is very much a work in progress, and I'll tell you what, I do not envy what Mike Elgin has to do. Not only have to go ahead and take over for a show that everybody loved, which is hard enough. Yep. If Leo were taking that show over with as experienced of a broadcaster that he is, he would have a hard time doing it, even though he's really, really great at broadcasting. It's just hard to replace somebody that everybody loves, let alone kind of do it on a learning curve, because Elgin's never really done anything like that before. But I will say this, Sarah Lane, killing it.
Yeah, right, she's doing great. She's awesome.
Always been awesome, and is really, really awesome right now. And if you want to listen to what a, you know, we're joking around a lot about like the amateur nature of podcasting and pod safe music and skipping ahead in frames when you shouldn't. But you want to see a pro?
Yeah.
Listen to Sarah Lane on TNT right now. That should go in the Wikipedia definition of professional broadcasting.
Yeah, she's doing really good. And like you said, I do not envy Mike's position as a guy who has to step in during the firestorm of all of that and try to build it out, because that's hard. That's a hard thing to be asked to do.
Yeah.
And he's going to do the best he can, but man, it's rough. So props to everybody involved though for winning their award, because they deserved it. It was rad. Yeah. And they should have won that category. All right. I think we should do Stump Trek Nerd. Why the hell not?
I think so too.
As Veronica Belmont would say,
how about a booby?
All right, here we go. That's a thing I'm going to play a lot, so get used to it. All right, we're going to call.
Is that from Current Geek?
That is from Current Geek. The other night,
I haven't listened to the new
I think
one
you should listen to it. I think you'd like it.
No, I'm really, really excited. I mean, like, I think Frog Pants has long wanted for the big weekly show.
Yeah, the tent pole. I mean, we've had them in the past, but I desire another tent pole, because the tent is sagging on the left side. I would like to hold it up over there.
We need more poles.
More poles, everybody. It's Stump a Trek Nerd, ladies and gentlemen, and it's brought to you by
StuffOnMyRabbit.net. Happy New Year from Vinny the Rabbit. What better way to keep track of important events in 2014 than with a Stuff on My Rabbit wall calendar? Just go to /loot.com and search calendars and order one today.
Nice. I like the end part there the most. So, Daryl, good morning.
Or you could just get a real rabbit yourself and put stuff on it.
Oh, hey,
what are you trying to do?
Yeah.
Cut the Achilles out of these advertisers, Daryl? We're trying to make money here.
Trying to take cash hand over fist, buddy. Daryl, it's a pleasure always to talk to you. How was your weekend? How you feeling? What's going on?
Oh, it's good. I'm tired. The little one woke up in the middle of the night, and then I couldn't go back to sleep. So
I heard is it the little one that bonked her head? She okay? Everything good?
Yeah, everything's fine.
You know kids are funny. They'll do these things where they'll get banged up real good, but they'll be so resilient. They'll hit the ground running. They're fine the next day.
Yeah, Well, you know in the cartoons when they bonk their heads and a hot dog rises up?
Yeah.
It was like that.
Yes.
So
I'm gonna,
it was scary.
Hot dog rises up. Fantastic. You mean the bump. The rest of us we referred to it as a bump growing up. You referred to it as a hot dog that came out.
Well, it looks like a hot dog.
All right, great.
See, that would be a great thing on that New York Times dialect quiz.
Oh, yeah,
that
would be all right.
You know, who calls head bumps hot dogs? And then it will just show a picture of Daryl Skeels.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
I think that's it.
Well, may we all get a good head erection here and there. Daryl, it's fun to have you on. As always, he's the Trek nerd, comes on here, answers hard trivia, Trek trivia, and does the best he can to try to have a perfect week. Here's your chance to start it off right. It's an original series episode. You like those.
Mm-hmm.
So here you go. In the original series episode, Wink of an Eye, is that where they kill Hitler, or is that a different one?
No, that's a different one.
Okay, great. The Enterprise is taken over by some Skelosians,
mm-hmm.
if that is their real name. A red shirt, who, of course, later dies, is convinced by the Skelosians to help them hijack the Enterprise. What is the name of this particular red shirt member of the crew? Is it A, Compton?
Yeah.
B, Grant. C, Marple.
No.
D, Carlisle. I have a feeling you already know the answer to this one.
This is the most confident I have ever heard Daryl on literally anything.
I completely agree, dude. You are like all over this thing.
He is more confident about this question than whether or not he actually has an offspring that woke up last night.
Yeah, good point. Well, Daryl, then I would ask you this.
How about a booby?
All right. No, not that. I wouldn't ask you that. So, Daryl, while you think so hard on which answer you think this is, because it sounds like you clearly don't know, do we have any birthdays to celebrate? We're not doing any food testing because Justin doesn't have any food to eat. And I'm eating nothing but antibiotics right now, so they're horrible. So I'm not talking about what I'm testing right now.
Although it would probably taste better than some of the candy you get from these far-off countries.
That's actually true, and there's some theory. So, okay, quick update. I got the diverticulitis, which my dad had, and it sounds like old man disease, and I hate even bringing it up.
Or it sounds like a great spell to cast in
D&D. It kind of does. Diverticulitis! suddenly Snape has the shits. But anyway, so here's how it works. It's basically the inflammation of the lower intestine, or colon, as some would refer to it. And it's bad, and it hurts, and it sucks. And so they gave me, I'm on like 3,000 milligrams of some horrible antibiotics every day to get rid of this thing, which is all fine and dandy and good. But here's a side effect I didn't expect. I actually kind of smell like penicillin. Like if you walked up to me and like just smelled my arm or my hair, like I'm a washed man. I shower daily, all right? I'm not like a stinky dude. Sometimes twice.
This is number one. You know that you are winning an argument when you have to scream, I shower regularly. I'm a well-washed man.
I'm a well-washed man, damn it. But
well, have your family as like Kim or the kids, like if they walked up and been like, yo, why are you smelling like penicillin?
My son noticed it. He goes, ugh. And I go, what? And he goes, you smell like a doctor's office, he says. I said, really? Oh. He says, yeah. And I kind of like, yeah, I kind of do. And Kim goes, well, don't come near me. She won't get near me right now because she's allergic to penicillin. So she doesn't want any like, it's, you know, there's no proof that me kissing her or something is going to give her penicillin poisoning.
Yeah.
But she's treating me like I'm radioactive at the moment until this stuff's through my system.
This would be a great, like the reason why there's some like mystery.
Yeah.
Like you're acute, let's say. You know, something bad happens, Kim's in a coma or something like that. Right. And it's like, oh, like, how did it happen? And then Columbo comes in and figures out that you were on penicillin and gave her a kiss on the cheek.
Yeah, I was on penicillin the whole time, she. That's not what he sounds like at all. What am I doing? That's not the right voice.
No, well, now, if any of the kids get sick, you just stuff them up under your arm and say, breathe deeply.
See? That's it. I got healing pits is what they're called.
Aw.
All right. Brian says aw. All right. So what was my point with that? Oh, my point with it is the doctor. Yeah, that's what the whole story. I went to the doctor, you know, one of these visits, and I'm like, what would cause this? He goes, oh, there's this and there's that. And there's all these things. I'm like, well, I don't do that. Do you drink a lot of alcohol? I don't drink any alcohol. Well, do you do this and that? No. Nope. Do you smoke? No. Nope. Well, then, you know, it could be. Blah, blah, blah. I said, is it possible that when I get weird food from around the world and taste bits of it, like Hugenschlager from freaking wherever.
Yeah.
is it possible that those things are giving me trouble? And he actually paused for a minute, rubbed his chin, and said, probably not. But he paused.
Oh, come on.
He paused for a second.
I thought he was going to say, well, it's funny you should mention that, because a study in a recent medical journal showed that eating weird candy does make you sick.
But, you know, I'm going to be a little more hesitant next time I get, like, polar bear jerky from somebody. And being, you
why?
Know, I don't know.
Because your doctor might pause?
Because this thing is horrible. It is awful. I'm trying. My goal is whatever causes it, I'm going to avoid it as if the plague itself is knocking at my door. Because it has been misery since Christmas Day. So here's all I would say. People of Earth, listen to my voice. Don't get diverticulitis. And that's all I'll say about that. All right, Daryl. So what are we doing? I don't know what we're doing. Oh, yeah. So we asked your question. Oh, you're going to tell us birthdays. Who's celebrating in the Star Trek world?
Well, that would be Aaron Eisenberg. He's 45 today. He played Nog on DS9.
Oh, gosh. One of my least favorite characters of all time.
So stick that in your pipe and smoke it, Eisenberg.
Take that, Eisenberg.
Have a happy birthday.
Yeah. Is he – oh, wait. Nog is the brother.
Yeah. He's the son, isn't he?
Oh,
yeah.
He's the son that hung out with Jake all the time?
Yeah.
Oh, I hate that guy. I don't like that character. Yeah, that character is the worst. The character in all the history of Star Trek. I really don't like it. Which is funny because I think that the dad, the brother, what's the brother's name?
Gorn,
Flange, whatever it is. Him and Quark are awesome. Like, I love Quark. I think he's awesome. Amron Shimmerman is an incredible actor and did a really good job with that. And the guy that played his brother was just fine. But that son was freaking terrible. Awful. Yeah. Real bad. All right. Well, there you go. Happy birthday to him.
I'm sure the actor's a nice guy.
Here you go. Back to your question. Compton Grant, Marple Carlisle. Which one was the red shirt who died in the episode A Wink of the Eye? Of an Eye.
Well, I think I know this. Maybe, possibly. But I have to mention Marple because that's my favorite red shirt name, and he's from the Apple, so it's not him.
Mm. See the one? Wait, the Apple is that the one with the Norse or the?
Is that the one where they kill Hitler?
No, wait, it's the one. I know the one. It's the flower one. No. Is it the flower one that shoots him in the chest?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I like that
and
guy.
That's where all the that's the episode that holds the record for the most red shirts died.
Probably responsible for the overall myth, because it is kind of a myth that all red shirts die, because plenty of red shirts don't die. In fact, in TNG, many red shirts were Starfleet officers of the highest, you know, caliber who are permanent cast members. So it's kind of garbage in the end if you look at the total number of red shirts possible. But I feel like that episode established a falsehood that is still great. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. It's a great lie. I like good lies. All right. Well, fine. Let's find out if you're right about this Compton fella. At the top of the list. Judges, is it Compton?
Congratulations!
Oh, big shock.
You're a winner!
The red shirt's last name was Compton. Both himself and Captain Kirk drank coffee made of Skelosian water, which made them move at a very accelerated level, making them invisible to the other members of the crew. That sounds really stupid.
Yeah.
Doesn't it? Ugh.
That's one of those sci-fi ideas that come up when you have to write 15 scripts in 7 days.
Yeah. I get the feeling this one was kind of Roddenberry just farting in the wind. Skelosians want to use the Enterprise to preserve their race. Here's a clip of some classic Shatnering going on. Please note the clip has not been edited, so I don't know what that means. So here this is.
Hyper-acceleration is the key. I have counted only 5 of them aboard, but they have taken over the ship, and we are under their control due to this acceleration. They are able to speed others up to their level, as they did Compton and me. Presumably this is enslavement. Those so treated.
That's only half the file, and I'm not going to play the rest. That's terrible. That's terrible. Oh, my gosh. He sucks.
I mean, so do you ever like wonder if you would have... Like, all right, so normally you write words and then you read them, like in a script.
Yeah.
What if you took that audio file and then made the appropriate punctuation so somebody could, like, repeat it exactly like that?
Yeah.
Like, it might completely void the world of all semicolons.
Yeah. That's about right.
There would be no more semicolons or periods to be had.
I couldn't
use all of them.
I couldn't live in a world where people spoke this way, where everyone did. I can live with
William Shatner.
Yeah, I can live with Shatner and 60s Batman doing it. That's it. Nobody else is allowed to talk like that guy because that freaking sucks.
That's an example of third season badness right there.
Yeah.
Nobody helps him.
No, that's Shatner I can get behind. That's the kind of Shatner I like. Awesome. Way to go, Daryl. You've nailed it. That means three more days and you've got a perfect week. As always, he is the Trek Nerd on Twitter. He's also part of This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com, a fantastic podcast about all things Trek. Daryl, give us a little weird whatever it is you're going to do. What is it going to be this week?
Okay. Well, this week it's going to be chair week. Is this a Star Trek thing or a chair?
Okay, here's your theme. Hold on. All right, there's your theme today. Star Trek thing or a chair? All right.
Blue Wave.
Blue Wave. You want to get this one, Justin? You want to start? Blue Wave,
I'm
a Star Trek thing.
I'm going to go Trek.
I'm going to say chair.
It is a chair.
Yeah! Oh!
Okay.
Yeah, it's okay is right. That's freaking fantastic. Who would have known a chair? Blue Wave, who makes it? Do we know?
Oh, I don't know. I should look these things up.
Yeah, come
I?
On. Do some damn research. Freaking, what the hell's going on over there? Jeez.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the news brought to you by
Tales from the Canopy. Michigan rapper Sloth presents his debut album on Bandcamp for $1. Listen to 14 tracks covering topics such as isolation, pillow forts, self-doubt, and going to the beach. All of that and more in Tales from the Canopy by Sloth. Listen for free at slothrap.bandcamp.com.
I think I might be in love with your readings of the segment bumpers. It's really
I do,
good.
I do my best.
It's listen, really good.
Just trying not to embarrass the show.
Of course not. Giant rubber duck burst into the scene in Taiwan. They showed up at a dock. This is pretty weird. 18 meters.
Oh!
Yeah, what?
This was the duck that was in Pittsburgh.
Oh, what? Wait, what? Who? How?
So I believe this is the same duck. This is this guy has been bringing this gigantic rubber duck, and he'll just like the cities vie for it. Like the Pittsburgh was the first American city that they did it in.
Yeah.
But the artist wound up picking Pittsburgh because of its connection to Andy Warhol.
Oh, and that makes sense. Yeah.
It just sits there.
It's a 50-foot duck, dude. How is he
massive? It's a massive, like it looks like a rubber duck. I don't think it's made of rubber, but it became this kind of rallying cry for the Pittsburgh Pirates baseball team because as they got into the playoffs for the first time in my adult lifetime, everybody was like, "Well, it's because of the duck. We're winning because of the duck."
Mm. Weird. So,
but apparently, no more.
No, it exploded. It collapsed suddenly.
After so many things have been made in Taiwan, it's about time something died.
That's right. And they never break, of course, if it's made in Taiwan, but this one did. Only 11 days after it had been put on display in the port of Keelung, organizers are unsure as to the cause of its demise, but one theory is that it was attacked by eagles. Eagles, dude. Think of that theory. Eagles attacked it.
I wonder if that gets covered on the insurance. Do I have to pay my full deductible if it gets attacked by eagles?
You have eagle coverage on this?
Wow. No, I had everything up through ospreys.
That's insane. Think about how weird that is. Eagles? Why would eagles attack it? Anyway, let's see. The duck
maybe
was just...
Maybe they were sick of it with its smug look on its
it. It could have been. Yeah, such a big jerk. The duck was designed by the Dutch artist Florentine Hoffman. That is his real name. To be a giant version of a popular bath toy. Last month, a similar duck was damaged elsewhere in Taiwan, where an earthquake triggered a power outage that caused it to deflate as well. A third Taiwanese duck was brought ashore in September because of an approaching typhoon. What the hell is going on?
Get the duck out of Taiwan.
I want to see the giant Ernie Muppet that plays with the giant duck. That's what I want.
Yeah, you know, this is such a cool idea, and people really, really like it. I mean, it was super popular when it was here in the States. So,
how long ago was this in the States? I don't remember this at all. When was this?
In the fall.
Okay.
In the fall, yeah.
And it's the same guy doing the same thing everywhere else.
I am almost positive because I remember his crazy Dutch name.
Mm. It's interesting. I'd like to live in a world where copycats aren't trying to reproduce mass killings and things. I'd rather them be copycat giant duck makers. Like
giant,
yeah. Yeah, because if there are three of these, like I got to think, if there are three or four of these in Taiwan, this guy can't be the only guy. There's got to be more going on there. Because those
That's a fair point.
They're giant ducks.
But also, you know what happens when we get copycat duck makers?
Then what?
Copycat flocks of marauding eagles. See, then you get a bunch of eagles that would otherwise just be sitting on a mountain looking majestic while an American flag waves in the background.
Yeah.
And instead, they're like, why don't we turn to a life of duck hunting?
Is there a is that a thing where they flocks? Do they ever even work together? Well, I guess they do now, but it doesn't seem like I've ever heard.
Birds, right?
I've only ever seen an eagle majestically flying on its own.
Because that's all we paint pictures and like shoot video of that. And that doesn't mean that they're not actually birds.
I mean, for all I know, they sit around picking mites out of each other's fur. Or I guess they don't have fur, but out of their feathers.
They have feathers.
I don't know what they do outside of, you know, and just flying over some big purple mountain. I never thought of them as flocks of giant duck killers.
If they're not screaming in the interstitials for Fox News,
exactly.
What else
are they doing? Exactly. Israel. You know Israel.
Yes.
It's a place. It's a thing. They are planning to pay for all of its young ladies' abortions in 2014. This has staunch Israel conservative supporters scratching their heads going, no, wait a minute. Why do we, you know, because it's a pretty divisive issue. And Israel itself is a very divisive issue. And to have two of your divisive issues seem to be at odds with one another, it's probably making some head spin. Israel will pay for the abortions of women aged 20 to 33, regardless of circumstance, starting next year, health officials said. They said this on Monday. I think it was the last Monday. Adding that they hope to make eligibility for state funding universal in the future. Until now, subsidized abortions for women of all ages were available in medical emergencies or in case of rape and incest, sexual abuse, and so on. Women under the age of 20 or over 40 were also eligible for abortion funding, even when the reason was personal. Despite the new funding, which was recently approved as part of Israel's state-publicized health basket.
That's I'll tell you what. You know, like every once in a while, you'll get a gift basket for something, yeah. And there's like two or three things, and you're like, ooh, chocolate bars. Uh-huh. And then there's, you know, whatever the nutmeg cake that like just sits there. Yeah. If you get it for Christmas, it sits there until the 4th of July until you finally just throw out the health basket. Apparently, Israel's state subsidized health basket is the same way.
I love there's that just, name. I love it. Here's the abortion pack. Here's your.
Because for some people, they're going to be like, oh, awesome, my abortion pack. And other people are going to be like, what am I going to do with this abortion pack?
Your urinary tract infection detection kit.
Oh, jeez.
All kinds of good stuff. You reminded me of something. I just want to mention this. People think this is a cheesy gift and nobody wants it, and it's the cheap way out. But you know those kind of meat log assortment things you get at the mall at the, what's it called, the store? Oh, Hickory Basket or the Hickory Farms. Like
that's crazy, Johnson.
It's like crackers, cheese, and like meat logs, right?
Yeah.
One of my, although I don't know now moving forward with my weird thing, but one of my favorite things to get ever. So it's like the cheesy, it's almost on the level I think of like fruitcake for a lot of people.
Sure.
But I love it, man. You get me one of those and you're friend. We're friends forever.
You know, they got crazy different kinds of meats, right? Like you're going to get your hard salami.
Yep.
You're going to get like your squeezable meats that you can just put on a cracker.
That's right.
It's a lot of meats. Yeah. Now let's get back to something hilarious like this abortion proposition in Israel. You know, the weird thing about this is that number one, here's what everybody has to understand about Israel. It is a crazy country, and I don't mean necessarily that it's crazy in any kind of controversial way. I just mean that it's a very divided country internally, which is funny because internationally, everybody thinks of it as just like, oh, they're, you know, this one issue that people think of, be it, you know, and it's fights with Palestine or something like that. But internally, you have a lot of young Israelis that think very, very, very differently from older Israelis. Sure. And then there's all these different other lines that make it a very contentious place. And I can assure you this is probably something that is very, very contentious, not only because of the abortion thing, but also because, you know, if you are Jewish in America, you can go on a trip to Israel for free with Birthright Israel. It's a program that basically gives any Jew in America a free trip to Israel.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like a timeshare vacation.
What, you have like an $80 cleaning fee before you leave or what?
No, you just go there. It's like, hey, free trip, right? Okay. And it is indeed a free trip.
Okay.
But also you got to sit through a seminar for like 3 hours.
Oh, geez.
And they explain to you the shifting demographic changes in Israel and the fact that there will be more Arab Israelis in Israel over the next 30 years at the current birth rates than Jewish Israelis.
Right.
So they want every American Jew possible to move to Israel, and they sell you on this idea, or at least I've been told by people who have gone on that trip.
Okay.
So the idea that the state of Israel would pay for people to not make more Israeli babies is, I am sure, controversial.
Well, I guarantee it is. I guarantee it is. What's more controversial to me is a much stupider side note, and that's this. They're talking about the cost of this. 16 million shekels.
Yeah.
Guys, they're still using shekels as money somewhere.
They are.
It's a shekel. Like, I, for whatever reason, that's like hearing that you're using, what's it? What's another, like an old-timey currency? Like, I'd gladly give you.
Oh, come on, no. What do you think is funnier, shekels or pence?
Pence.
Because the British still use pence.
They still do use pence, but pence is basically cents, right? It's like pennies, right? Isn't it?
Well, they call them pennies, yeah. But also, it's like you go back to like Robin Hood, and people are arguing over pence.
Yeah, no,
you're right? or like King Arthur.
Sure,
like,
sure, you're right. But shekel, for some reason, a shekel sounds like
Sir Lancelot. You've shorted me 4 pence, you cheap ass.
I will gladly paint your wall for 14 shekels. It just sounds so. It sounds so old to me. I don't know.
I'll tell you what, everybody, let's see if we can get more silly currency names here in the chat room. Because I think there's got to be something, because I agree with you, shekels is a very funny currency.
It is. Dong is pretty good. That's Vietnam.
Can we do better than dong?
I don't know if dong is. Dong might be the best you get. It's certainly the most 12-year-old version.
This is 8 dong.
Yeah. Chat room's going to take a minute to even hear what we just said, so we'll find out. Stupid delay. So there you go. Stuff happening afoot in Israel. HelloFresh.com would like to remind you, though, internationally, that you can get some amazing food easy, quick, and awesomely at HelloFresh.com. Here's how it works. If you want to make food, cooking food fun again, because you're thinking to yourself, man, I'm sick of making all this mac and cheese and this poopy crap with stuff in it. I want to have good food again. Every week, their chefs create delicious recipes. You pick what you like. You tell them what you want, which one. It's like, all right, I want this one with the beef or the shrimp or the whatever. And they will send, now they're coming in, Loonies, Dogecoin.
That's the dog thing. 5 seconds ago.
Yeah, never mind, you're right. Korean Dong. Korean Dong is my William Hung cover band, nice. Groats, who does groats? I think they're making them up.
Well, listen, that's the next... The next Trek Nerd segment is international currency or alien race.
Right. Good one. Dried moose droppings, the official sanctioned currency of Canada, says Rilla Dune. Anyway, back to this. So they'll send you all the exact farm fresh ingredients. So if it's meat, beef, whatever it is, they'll send it to you right to your door. I've been the recipient of this. It comes in this awesome freezer box, and it's all ready to go and all portioned out the way you need it. Do it in 30 minutes or less. It's awesome. Go check them out and see if they can deliver to you. Use MorningStream50 at checkout. That's for first-time customers. They can get 50% off right now at HelloFresh.com.
If communists have attempted to inject their propaganda into the motion picture, they have failed miserably.
Ladies and gentlemen, join us now for Celebrity Poop, which is brought to you by...
The Silver Seven. A new novel in the superhero genre that breaks old boundaries and breaks new ground. Surprising, funny, and exciting, this story pits the most unlikely of protagonists against the most intimidating of opponents. Full of dry humor, shocking twists, and pop culture in-jokes, the adventures of 7 geriatric superheroes is a sure hit for anyone who's earned their nerd chops. Coming soon to print, available on Amazon for the Kindle now, it's The Silver Seven by Christopher Markley.
Markley. Yeah, I'd say that's right. That sounds cool. Sounds I would like to read that. Downton Abbey. Or as my mom would say, Downtown Abbey.
Yeah.
The creator admits next series of ITV hit could be its final one. The creator, Julian Fellows.
I'm Julian Fellows.
Yo, what up? Has given the biggest hint yet that the next series will be its last. When they say series, they mean, you know, it's like a season for us. He admitted he would not be able to continue to write the show's storylines at the time, or at the same time as working on his next major project, a TV drama in the U.S. called The Gilded Age. That sounds great. I'm in.
Oh, yeah, dude. Totally.
Yeah, that's awesome. And
by the way, we took another one, Britton.
Yeah.
Suck it.
Take that, buddy. Taking all your best talent. Asked about his new program with an E. Fellows, age 64, said in an interview, "It will happen when Downton finishes because I just couldn't do both at once." He continued, "There would still be a fifth series of Downton." So there's one after the one we're in. That's good.
Well, yeah, I think the one that we're in has already aired in Old Britannia.
Yeah, it's coming here now. I guess it's showing up on BBC and PBS.
That's like Sherlock that PBS bought.
Oh,
it would
right.
be better if it were on BBC America, since BBC America is now smartened up and decided to show stuff at the same time. But I guess this wouldn't be on BBC America because it's ITV.
Yeah, you're right. Either way, we're hooked here on that show for reasons I can't explain. Probably most people can't quite explain why they're so into it.
Oh, dude, I had no interest in it. And then I watched it, and all I wanted to do was dress up in fancy clothes and talk down to the help.
And watch more and run through the house going, "Mr. Bates," as loud as you can.
No, definitely. It is really, really amazing. But I'm glad, you know, it's interesting to see that he wouldn't want to do two shows at once.
Yeah.
Because you could argue, and I would, that let's say Doctor Who
sure.
has kind of declined in quality as Sherlock became really, really good, and that was the same showrunner doing things at the same time. Now, granted, Sherlock is pretty much just three scripts that they go on, and Doctor Who would be more and probably have a more expansive writer's room. But I don't know. I'm down with that. I'm down with somebody saying, you know what, I only want to do one show and I want it to be amazing and I want to put my fingerprints all over it.
Yeah. It's hard. It's interesting because in a new media world where we're all just trying to scrimp by and make it work, you kind of have to do more than that. Like, I would love to be able to just go, I'm just going to focus on TMS. That's all I'm going to do. Well, and that's not to diminish the other shows, folks. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is it would, you know, you could really do amazing things, but it doesn't necessarily pay the bills anymore. So it's kind of like, I mean, not even Adam Carolla can do that. Not even, you know, the bigger names. I guess maybe Mark Maron can, but not even really him. He's got his show on IFC now. He's got his other stuff going on. Like, he still tours and does stand-up. That's just the way it is. So when it comes to a big, huge thing like this, and you're 64, I mean, keep that in mind. Not that 64 is that old, but you know what I mean. I mean, he's not going to want to go, yep, going to run, going to have one foot in one in the other, and I'm doing Walking Dead Season 5. So, see you there.
You know, he could be asking somebody, will you still need me? Will you still feed me today? It's like, this is no longer a hypothetical question.
Yeah.
I'm literally asking if somebody needs and or will feed me.
Yeah. He says this. He says, "I don't know if there'll be a season 6, but it's not going to go on forever. It won't be Perry Mason," he says. Oh, fired one over the bow at Perry Mason.
Yeah, dude, Perry.
Zing. That?
Long in the tooth, dog. I don't know. There's also the thing with British television shows and actors that, you know, I think it was Jamie Bamber, the guy who was in Battlestar Galactica, who, like, after Battlestar Galactica was over, was like, he's like, "Listen, I'm like every British actor who's in a genre television show. Every script I got, I thought was stupid, and I didn't want to do it. And every season, I thought about quitting until they told me the show was ending, when I demanded that it go on forever."
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's like everybody wants to be doing something else. Downton Abbey specifically has been, a show that has had its cast talk about leaving, and they've killed off characters because mm-hmm. actors wanted to do other stuff. So, you know, it might just be the way that it has to go.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think this is the way of things. This is the way this stuff goes. Jamie Bamber, by the way, if you ever want to see, I have it in my, I'm of the opinion that he is the best American accent generating British guy I've ever heard in my life. He is British as all hell and back.
Yeah.
But he can fake it like I've never heard any. I mean, well, you've all seen BSG. You know how good he can fake it. And it weirds you out, even though you know it, to go watch him on YouTube being interviewed about something and hear him going, yes, well, I found my time in season 3 of Battlestar Galactica. Was blah, 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 blah. Like, holy shite. That guy's amazing.
You want to know what, though? Mm. I kind of feel like the all-time record for that is The Wire.
Oh, yeah. What's it? Yeah. The House dude to give you a run for your money, though. What's his name?
True.
He's pretty good.
No, but like, The Wire, it is like an Inception-level mind explosion when you're watching behind the scenes, and it's like three of the characters that you had known and loved as these gritty American cops and drug dealers are like, well, you know, when I first did get the script, I was... How would I become the drug lord kingpin of Baltimore?
Exactly, man. That is weird. I still haven't watched the entirety of The Wire. I know. I'm getting there.
It's great. Listen, it's well worth watching.
What else? Let's see here. Steven Seagal.
Oh, it's a big one.
Yeah, it's a big one. Steven Seagal is going to run for governor of Arizona. If Al Franken, an unfunny comedian, can be a U.S. senator. This is Daily Caller saying that. I thought Al Franken was fine. He had his moments.
Franken's one of the greatest comic writers, especially for sketch comedy.
Yeah, his writing. People don't realize that he wrote more than he appeared. Like, they just don't. Whoever wrote this article is being a little short-sighted.
Well, no, it's the Daily Caller. The Daily Caller is a conservative website.
Yeah.
So Al Franken is obviously the opposite of conservative, and they're taking a little shot.
And that's fine. We get it. Then it says, surely Steven Seagal, America's leatheriest direct-to-video badass, can be governor of Arizona. The star of Marked for Death, Under Siege 2, Dark Territory, and other things. Jeez. Said he is mulling a run to be Arizona's next governor, reports Phoenix ABC affiliate KNXV. Siegel, age 61, announced the possibility of his prospective candidacy while promoting a new reality series called Steven Seagal, Lawman, Marcopia County, The Lost Episodes. Maybe shorten that down to something like Marked for Death, okay? that's what you're known for. You don't need to have big names. The flamboyant B-movie Colossus and Seventh Dan Black Belt? What is a Dan? I don't know what that means. It's a keto thing.
Yeah, it's higher than Keith, but lower than Mark.
Okay. That makes perfect sense. Sounds like those three guys would have a lot of fun on the town. On a weekend.
They would.
Let's see. Anyway, he's known recently for that America's Toughest Sheriff stuff. And it's some sort of reality. It's pretty pseudo-reality. But anyway, the idea that he would be a governor is a little bit scary. But then again, whatever. He sounds like... Who was the wrestler in Minnesota? Can't think of his name.
That would be Jesse Ventura.
Listen, I believe we are all in huge trouble. I can't do his voice, but that,
that was pretty good. Was all right. I'll tell you what. That was very good. I thought you had a head of steam on that one. I wanted more.
Obama wants to eat your soul. what would you do if you had...
How would the building come down if it wasn't coated in thermite?
How would you feel
if
about
Michael P.S. Hayes of the Fabulous Freebirds has anything to say about it? He can come talk to me.
Isn't he still in Mexico or something, hiding out or something going?
Yeah,
like
no, he lives in Mexico. All right, North so South. I mean, here's my thought on this.
Yeah.
Number one, governor is a really, really, really hard job.
Yeah.
I feel like if you're some crazy celebrity, not to say that you know, Al, like they mentioned Al Franken, like it's way easier to be a senator or a congressman than it is to be a governor.
Yeah.
Because you can kind of hide in the Senate or Congress. Like, it's fairly easy to be an unremarkable congressman or representative or something like that. It's not easy to be a middling governor.
Right.
Because, like, everybody's always up your butt for something.
Yeah.
Like,
And you've automatically put yourself in the national spotlight. You can't just be a quiet local governor. You're going to be a big whoop. And you're already in a state that's known for kind of some pretty, you know, some pretty interesting measures, like checking everybody in their car to see if they're legal and junk like that or whatever, you know, all that stuff in Arizona.
Arizona is a state that is fraught with a lot of very, very hot button issues. I do not think that the Steven Seagal thing is necessarily serious, because if you look at where have all these silly, you know, celebrity representatives come from, both Ventura and Al Franken are from Minnesota.
Yep.
Where it's like, all right, I mean, like, what's the biggest, I mean, like, what does a governor really have to do in Minnesota? You're not worried about keeping the Canadians out.
No.
Right? You got to wear a Vikings jersey on Sundays and make sure that the snow gets cleaned up on top.
You're concerned about getting more Canadians in.
So yeah, you're like welcoming them. You're like, I think we need a bigger sign saying, come on in, Canucks, we love you.
Get in here. Don't bring your pansy-ass loonies with you. I can't do his voice, dude.
And then Al Franken is, you know, smart enough and
strong enough and gosh darn it. Yeah.
Gosh darn it, people elected him.
Exactly. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have a quick phone call with our friend Brian Ibbett down there in Vegas.
Oh, here we go.
Possibly Steven Schleicher as well, to talk about the big news that Star Wars comics have been ripped from the dead cold hands of Dark Horse and moved to Marvel, which makes perfect sense to me, but we'll get more on that in a minute. Eric should be here with his app review. We got more stuff after that, so stay tuned for that. I would like to tell you, though, before we take the big break, Squarespace.com would like you to go save some money. Listen, Squarespace.com, you know what they are. You know what they do. You can make a great website. You can make anything you want, portfolio, online, whatever. Make it easy. Make it quick. Make it simply, and make it for 25% off. Go try it out first, though. We don't want you to just go in willy-nilly and spend money. Go try it out. No credit card required. See what you like. Try out their templates. They're adding new stuff every day. And when you decide to stick around at squarespace.com, use the offer code morning. Well, I guess it'd be 12. Morning one now. This is wrong. This is old. There we go.
Oh.
Morning one.
Morning one.
Morning one, everybody. 25% off.
Squarespace, I made my entire go home Santa, the entire go home Santa experience where I sold it was all through Squarespace. And it was super easy.
It looked great. It was easy. It was so easy to use. Like, yeah. I remember going to it going, who did Justin get to make this in such short amount of time?
In like 5 seconds. Yeah, no.
And then it occurred to me, I went, oh, it's Squarespace. Got it. Okay, fine. Yeah, they're awesome. And we want to save you guys money. 25% off. Go check them out. All right, we're going to play a song. Usually Brian has some crazy story to tell you about why a cover's unique and interesting or whatever. And then I would say, oh, that sounds great. And he'd say,
aw.
And then I'd say, all right, great, and we'll play it. But instead, I'm going to play some of my favorites, and we played some of these before. And here's it's Brian again. Sorry, I played him again. Hold on.
Your dream sucks.
All right, thanks, Brian. So I'm gonna play one of my favorite covers we've done on the show by Reliant K. This is their cover of Africa, originally by Toto.
Yeah.
And I'm a huge fan of this song. I think it's rad in its day, and I think it's even cooler with their coverage of it. And I don't know why, but it brings back all kinds of weird nostalgia for me. So we're going to play that now. And when we come back, all that stuff I said and more, stay tuned.
Time to do the things we never had.
just longing for some solitary company. I know that I must do what's right, just sure as Kilimanjaro rises like Olympus above the Serengeti. I seek to cure what's deep inside, frightened of this thing that I've become.
New Pac-Man pasta?
Mmm, little spaghetti shaped like us.
Delicious. And because Chef Boyardee is packed with goodness, it's great for when we have to eat and run.
New Pac-Man pasta from Chef Boyardee. With meatballs? Without meatballs? Or chicken flavor?
Thank goodness for new Pac-Man pasta. Thank goodness for Chef Boyardee.
Women take up makeup in a serious way.
This is the morning stream. No touching of butts allowed. No butt touching.
Oh, gosh. We're back. Hey, everybody. What's going on? Justin, you doing all right there?
Hell yeah.
All right. Connection holding. Everything solid. Sweet.
We're good.
Sweet. Let's call our good buddy Brian Ibbett, who is waiting by his phone anxiously to tell us how things are going in Las Vegas.
Indeed.
If I can find him.
Also, while you do that, breaking news.
Uh-oh. Beep, 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 beep,
beep. Utah connection.
What?
The Supreme Court of this great nation has halted the gay marriage in Utah.
Yes. Wait. What? I thought we called it unconstitutional. That's all been reversed now?
The state asked to have it have a backseas
on
that until they can decide, until it can be, have it stay in court, basically.
Oh, I don't like the sound of that.
So things remain, I mean, I don't know. It's legal stuff. I think if you are a proponent of gay marriage, as I would be personally, full disclosure.
Sure.
it's you want everything to be done in the proper legal recourse because you don't want there to be a challenge of it based on a legal technicality.
Okay.
Once it is all said and done.
Right.
So if the state asks for it, then you don't want them to not to run over that. It's, you know, it'll have its day in court. And if you look at how things have gone or like over the last 10 years, then there's a very good chance that it will be settled in the Supreme Court with less of a chance for it to be overturned later.
Wow. Okay. You know more about this stuff than I will ever know. And you should run for office. Like we talked about earlier.
In Arizona.
Yeah, in Arizona. I think that'd be a fantastic
idea. The fact that I don't particularly like their state.
Other than that.
Hello.
Who's this?
Why, it's Brian, isn't it?
Hello, Brian. Well, I hear like a casino sound in the background. What is that?
Yes, I decided I would actually call you, or I'm sorry, receive your call from the casino. You're actually hearing the, is it too loud? I'm actually in front of the... Charlie the Chocolate Factory machine, the Wonka machine. You know.
It is
goes well with winning money like people love it.
It's hard to make out what it is. It's pretty screechy. It sounds like just like that. That's my impression.
Yeah.
Right there.
Oh no, that's pretty much what it sounds like. Yeah.
Oh. Great.
That is an accurate representation. So Brian, I imagine you've just been partying all night with your podcast awards in tow.
Yes, we took them out to the strip clubs and, you know, put them all on the table and thought that maybe that would get us some attention, maybe get us some women to come over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, podcast hosts don't care the kind of way that they used to.
Yeah, that's true. It's no longer the word? It's no longer the Spanish fly it used to be in certain circles.
That's right, exactly.
You guys can just print out some paper vouchers for Doge coins.
Exactly. So, Brian, here's a question for you. Is the People's Choice Awards... Man, that's loud. What is that I'm hearing? That is so loud. Is the big People's Choice Award as much larger as it looks compared to the other awards?
It is, yeah. It's a giant.
Oh my gosh, that's so loud!
Cannot.
Do you hear that?
Yeah, so, have you guys decided where that's going to live? Where the People's Choice Award's going to live?
Well, you know, it's going to live at Scott's place for sure. But Todd is he's ordering like nominee awards or giving people the chance, like if they're nominated, hoping to get to buy additional awards. So,
so you can get copies of it. So even jury could get one.
Away from the sound.
Yeah. So
jury
could get one. Nicole could get one. Tom, everybody could get one for being a piece of the show.
Exactly, and should get one. So we're gonna figure all that out.
No.
I'm getting
you guys should get all of them. And tape them together.
You should just get copies and tape them together.
Yeah.
So hold on. Here's a question. Then can Todd is Todd just doing this as a racket? Is he going to make a bunch of money from this, or what's his plan?
No. I think he's pretty much just going to sell them, like get them in cost. He's gonna find out how many people want them, and then obviously the more people will buy it.
I feel like you're like that kid in Pinocchio that just went to the carnival and your tail's about to pop out.
No, you want to know what? This is how professional Brian Ibbett is. Because even while he's in Vegas, he is providing his own music bed for the show.
It's
funny because like just as I was getting ready to pull the money, I was like, all right, well, one more spin and I'll walk away from the machine because it's loud. Then the friggin' Wonka Vader thing goes up. So this is a bizarre machine. I've never seen something like this. So it's your typical, you know, movie adaptation thing. It's like that's a built-in chair that rotates and vibrates and wobbles around. You can choose your level of, it's like one of those motion capture machines.
Oh, wow.
Oh, here we go. If I win the gold.
Are you in the MGM? Is that where you're at?
Yeah, I'm in the MGM.
Yeah, that's your favorite casino, is it not?
It is, yeah. This is where I always try to stay if I come to town.
Are they done? Are they finally done with the redo of the outside with the line and all that? Or are they still working on all that crap?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and it's gorgeous. I mean, they basically put a sign in the front of this place that's as big as any of the other ones on the strip. It's basically like the size of the one at the Wynn and the Encore and the stuff down the way.
Yeah.
MGM used to just have the big MGM letters and then this little video screen, little screen.
Yeah.
And
a relic of Vegas in the 90s, I would argue. A bygone era.
That's right.
Remember the time when Vegas was trying to be all family friendly and then they just kind of gave up on it? Yeah. Good times.
Yeah, you know, though, there's still a lot of people who bring their freaking families.
Yeah, of course they do.
And I'm saying it loud enough for them to hear in the casino.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and tell your kid to start splitting in blackjack.
That's
you
right.
You know, you're ruining the count for everybody else.
You dumbass.
Well, and I checked with Scott about this, but basically, Gene and I believe that the two kids from the third segment of Four Rooms.
Yeah.
Boy, that's a lot of numbers. It's like math right there. The two kids, you know, who stabbed the wall with
For those that don't know, that's the Robert Rodriguez segment of Four Rooms.
Yes, yeah, the one that inspired Spy Kids.
Yeah.
Really? Okay, that makes sense.
Which I also hate. Anyway.
Yeah, we think that they're in the room next to us because we hear yelling and screaming at all hours of the night.
Wow.
And it doesn't seem like there's any parent involvement.
Yeah.
In the room next to us, it's almost like, they really actually could have done the same thing just by leaving the kids at home unsupervised.
Yeah.
And then it would be less noisy for any of them.
Yeah. Well, and Banderas has to go out at night and do what he has to do.
That's right.
I understand that works.
Whatever it is. Yeah.
Well, Brian, it's a pleasure. Of course, we're excited to have you back tomorrow. And we'll talk more about the goings on. There's always stories from Vegas. I'm excited about anything you may have run into that was disgusting or embarrassing.
Absolutely. Well, we do have to talk about one thing. The People's Choice Award is a huge thing, especially when you talk about who we were up against. Like, I'd say, like, if you were to, I don't know, go to your soundboard and maybe ask Adam Curry who we were up against for his No Agenda program.
Oh, we should find out, yeah.
Let's see. So let's ask Adam Curry. So Adam, who won the People's Choice Award?
The Morning Stream!
That's what he'd say.
Riding the horse's mouth.
He has something else to say. He's holding his hand up. Hold on.
And what's MC Hammer doing? You know the guy's got talent.
There you go. That's what he's doing. Fantastic. Awesome, dude. Well, have fun. Be safe. And fly home in one piece. And we'll look forward to talking more tomorrow about what's going on down there.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys. Have a great rest of the show. I'll be listening.
All right, brother.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
I can't find his hang-up. There he is. All right. Great. Great. Now, let's see if we get... Oh, that may not work. Well, we'll try it. We're going to try to get Stephen Schleicher on the line and get some skinny on this Dark Horse deal. It's a big deal for... If you're a fan of Star Wars comics, and I don't know who is anymore. I mean, I kind of am, I guess. I don't know if I am or not. It's been years since I've even checked him out. But I have to say, a move like this would probably drive me... Oh, hey, Steven.
How are you, Big Winner Man?
Oh, Big Wiener Man is my rap name. dude, you have fun? You look like you were having fun yesterday.
Oh, it was. It's very interesting to be at the New Media Expo. It's too bad you guys aren't here.
Well, let me ask you this question, though.
Okay.
I meant to ask Brian this, but he had a slot machine blaring right into his face when we called him.
I was just getting into a cab when you called.
So. Oh, good. Oh, deal. Are you on your way back? You're probably getting ready to get home, aren't you?
No. I actually am going to do one more day at the convention.
Oh, great. So the convention last year I felt like was super underwhelming in terms of the actual convention itself, like the floor and the stuff that was available and things like that. How was it this year? Better? Mm-hmm.
The exhibit area is very disappointing, I thought.
Hmm. Yeah.
They have like magnetic bracelets and teeth whitening things that are there.
They have teeth whitening things.
Wait, for the podcast expo?
Exactly. I was expecting microphones and audio boards, and it's just like, here's WordPress, and here's Blueberry, and here's Cafe Prayer, Cashfly, and all these other companies that really are more into the business end, but nothing on the production end.
So in your case, Justin, what they're trying to tell you as a video podcaster is you need to get your teeth whitened. That's what they're telling you.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Act like I don't know. Come on.
Well, that's what I thought, too. I expected NewTek at least to have a booth presence there to show at least their lowest-end TriCaster system. Now, Philip Nelson, who's one of their PR marketing guys, he was on one of the panels in the afternoon talking about live streaming events, and nobody had heard of a TriCaster in the session. And
so
it would have been a perfect opportunity to have them on the floor, you know, on the exhibit floor, and show what was going on with that stuff.
Yeah.
That's all I was kind of disappointed too.
Yeah.
You know, that's because that's the organizers really hustling on a good dealer room there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like, I mean, last year was about the same. I don't feel like I feel like nothing's changed on the exhibitor floor by way of your description and hearing from others. But yeah. My bigger issue is I just feel like the stuff they do focus on is a lot of sort of inside baseball, a lot of back padding. And I don't just mean like the awards thing. I think that can be a little bit more mainstream or a little bit more, you know, generally consumable by people who aren't necessarily have vested interest in their shows or whatever. But mm-hmm. it'd be nice if the show itself would just be a little bit more not the same five faces and just, you know, reach a little bit more, especially because they're not focusing right. just on podcasting anymore. It's supposed to be right. blogging and video blogging and new media and, all kinds. So I don't know.
And then there were some interesting panels. I've got a couple today about business-oriented stuff, about increasing traffic and those kinds of things. To be honest, I don't expect that I'll hear anything new.
Mm-hmm.
There have been a good couple of takeaways. It's an interesting show. Certainly, if Major Spoilers is nominated again next year, we'll show up.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly Scott Johnson will show up next year.
Oh, I'll be there next year. Don't you worry. Dude, freaking, you can't have Phoenix, horrible bowel issue, and,
yeah.
and the launch of a new show. It doesn't happen every January, so it should be fine next year.
Yeah.
Phoenix still haunts me, but we'll talk about that later. Well, that's great. Well, I'm glad you're there. I'm glad you're getting some stuff out of it. And more importantly, I'm glad you're here to tell me real quick about what's going on with this Marvel Dark Horse thing and Star Wars stuff.
So,
it seemed like it was inevitable, but how's everybody feeling? What's the temperature?
Yeah, I think a lot of people are rather upset. So if listeners don't know what's going on, last week, Disney announced that when the Dark Horse Comics contract for Star Wars ends in 2015, that they would be taking the property back and giving it over to Marvel to publish. This really shouldn't come as a big surprise. I mean, Disney has done this with Boom Studios titles, Disney titles that they've had before, and then they also did it with their own comics, their Gemstone books years ago as well with a distributor. So when Disney bought Lucasfilm, everyone knew that the contract was coming up in 2015. It didn't really come as a surprise then when it was officially announced. Mm. I think the thing that was most disappointing for Dark Horse was that they did lose it. I mean, they have been shepherding the Star Wars property in comic book form for 20 years now.
Yeah.
And they have done some fantastic work, and I think a lot of fans are upset to see it go. Mike Richardson, the CEO publisher of Dark Horse, put out a really nice letter this last week expressing his disappointment but understanding that this was something that was going to happen.
The writing's on the wall, man. I mean,
yeah. I mean, a lot of people called it. I even had called it, last year saying, hey, in 2015, expect announcements to be made. They decided to pull the trigger January, just on Friday last week.
Yeah. And there's no doubt in my mind that they're going to see a big sales increase of those titles anyway with this change. Whether or not Dark Horse was doing great work or not.
Yeah.
They've got muscle at Marvel/Disney now to make a big freaking whoop out of it.
Justin, and I guess that's the biggest thing is on one hand, I think you're totally right, Stephen. They were dead man walking as soon as that merger happened. Disney's not buying this intellectual property to let anybody other than Disney make money on it. But from a fan's perspective, it really depends on the talent. Like, talent-wise, is there a dream pairing of people who have maybe either worked on Dark Horse versions of Star Wars comics or not that you would like to see work on the Marvel version?
Yeah.
Well, it'd be interesting. I mean, Brian Bolan has worked on a lot of the Star Wars stuff in the past, and I believe he's working for Marvel right now. So I think that there's some positives there. Certainly being able to see some creative types over at Marvel take up the property, I think will be interesting. I don't have anybody writer artist right now. Heaven forbid, I shouldn't say that. Ryan Michael Bendis is a good writer, but I don't think I want to see him take on a Star Wars series.
Yeah,
I mean one issue would just be lighting up the lightsaber.
That's a good way to put it. I picked up a comic while I was in Phoenix at this new comic book store in the PV Mall down there, and it was just me. This is before I even heard about any of this stuff. It was just me going, man, I haven't picked up a Star Wars comic in a while. I wonder if this is any good. And it was kind of it was kind of chaos. It wasn't very easy to follow. I don't know what these characters were doing. I mean, I picked it up kind of mid-series, but, you know.
Well, that's one of the things that Dark Horse has done is they've really worked in the expanded universe. Things like Knights of the Old Republic and some of the Future Tense stories are very interesting because it's not Luke and Leia and Han Solo stories. although they do have some of that still going on. But it's like Luke's, sons in the future, great-great-grandsons and previous incarnations of Jedi in the past. So it doesn't surprise me that it's hard for new readers to jump on board. But I don't think any of that's going to change because this is all part of the canon expanded universe. And so if you're a Star Wars fan, I don't think you're going to see a lot of change going on over at Marvel. Hmm. Now, on the plus side, Marvel used to have the property back in the 70s. Some people may remember, Scott, you may remember.
I have a couple of issues still someplace. Yeah.
I still have my original issues, too. And you know what Marvel can produce with that.
Yeah.
When the Star Wars property left Marvel, there were some characters that were created exclusively for Marvel that were, not used in the current session. And probably the most notable is the 7-foot-tall Green Rabbit Jaxxon, which may or may not see a return once Marvel gets back a hold of Star Wars next year.
I think they probably will. It seems like an opportunity.
Yeah. I think they will for no other reason just than to get the fanboys all excited.
Yeah,
not to mention, a whatever comic run they want to do, even if it's just the comic novelization of the screenplay for the new film, it will probably be the biggest seller of 2015, right?
Oh, I'm sure it will be. I think, and I haven't done my research, so sorry this morning. It was news that broke, while I was in transit over to the convention. Mm-hmm. But I think what will be really interesting is if they do some kind of crazy X-Men versus Star Wars crossover. They've already had a Star Trek crossover with the X-Men, so,
it wouldn't surprise
crazy
me.
Like that,
yeah.
None of
this would surprise me. This all makes sense. And do you remember the 70s ones that when Marvel was doing them, they did the big tabloid format? Do you remember that?
I remember those, yeah.
I could go for that again. Like something you'd want to hang on to.
I don't think they'll do that.
Yeah, probably not.
Well, with print, it's such a high printing cost now because of ink and shipping and everything.
Yeah.
I mean, this week over at DC Comics, so that we're not focused totally on Marvel, is the new Detective Comics number 27. It's the big anniversary issue, which if they hadn't rebooted the DC Universe, this would have been, I believe, the 900th issue of Detective Comics. And a couple of weeks ago or a month ago, people who are subscribers that get it mailed to them were told that they would not be getting this issue because of the supersized, the additional pages and everything. It was going to be too expensive for them to ship this book. I don't know if that was resolved, but it was something that really brought to light that, if you're looking to get comics at a comic book store or a convention or wherever, they have to be shipped from overseas or from Canada. And that's a big cost. And if you're getting an oversized book or if you're getting a big anniversary issue, that's really kind of some of the justification for an $8 book or a $10 book in some of these cases with special sizes.
Yeah, no, that's cool. I'll watch. I tend to be kind of hot on the Marvel thing anyway. The Disney bought Marvel thing and Disney bought Star Wars thing, and I'm optimistic about all those things just because nothing's happened yet and it's hard to judge. But I'm going to stay optimistic until they blow it. If they do,
yeah.
So this could be great, or this could be, a bad turn, or if you're a fan.
Disney's been working with the Star Wars property for years, especially at the theme parks, and so we've seen Mickey Mouse in Jedi robes and those kinds of things. I think what will be interesting now that it's over at Marvel is seeing Donald Duck and Howard the Duck meet with the ducks of the Star Wars universe.
Holy shite. this sounds like the worst thing ever now.
The most awesome thing ever.
Yeah, or the most awesome thing ever. Steven, it's always a pleasure. Majorspoilers.com. Congrats on the good time down there, and we'll look forward to having you home and back on the show next week.
Thank you, Scott, and congratulations on the big win.
Thanks, man. We'll see you later.
Big Wiener Man.
Big Wiener Man. I like that name.
I'm sure you do.
Now, we're going to see if Eric's around. It's just a cavalcade of stars today.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. It is. It is a big glittering lore to everybody that heard about the morning stream last night. Want to see what this is all about.
I always wonder how much of a bump you get from such things, like if we would actually see a...
I think it's without a doubt dozens of people.
Probably dozens, yeah.
Stopped listening.
Dozens seems about right to me. I think that's probably fair. Oh, hello? Look what we got here. Oh, listen to this. I heard a voice and I hear the music. That must mean this. Coming right up around the bend.
F-slappy.
Hey, everybody, check it out. It's Eric Van Skyhawk, Lord of Apps, and he's here to do an app review. Hi, Eric.
Hello. How's it going, guys?
I'm good, man. It's
congratulations, man.
Yeah, thanks. It was cool. Do you remember that year we won for Apps Lappy? I have a trophy right over there.
I mean, you're going to send me that award now because it doesn't fit on your trophy case, your trophy case?
Well, I just
Getting moved down the bench.
Yeah, down the bench, baby. I got a bigger place to put these things now, so I don't know yet. We'll see. But now that I know I can get duplicates of these, maybe I'll just duplicate it. Because here's the funny bit. That thing we won in 2009, which is sitting right over there, it's exactly the same trophies they got this year.
Yes, I noticed that.
Identical. So, yes, we could probably dupe it and finally give you the credit you deserve all the way in New Jersey.
From 2009.
Yes, it's been a while. So Eric comes on the show, does an app review of some sort. Talks about sometimes they're games, sometimes they're utilities, sometimes they're photo-related, sometimes they're pornographic. But either way, he's here to give it a rating and recommend you go try something or avoid something.
Take it from Big Wiener, man.
Yeah, take it from Big Wiener, man. I know the score here. So Eric, what do you got this week? What's going on?
I have a really stupid app to
review.
Sweet. Stupid. I've been seeing it for quite a while now over the internets, the interwebs, and I decided to check it out.
All right.
And it is called Swap Face.
Sorry, that would seem to be an automatic knee-jerk.
Face Swap. Actually, I got it wrong, so that was a correct response.
Face Swap, you called it.
Yes. Okay. Have you seen this thing?
No.
I just sent you an email with some of the examples of what it does.
All right, let's take a look here. I'll look that up while you're going there.
What it does is you load a photo of multiple people, and it automatically swaps all the faces in the picture.
Oh, look at that. That is stupid. Oh, my gosh. So wait, it detects faces? And then it detects
faces? Yeah, it detects the faces, and it automatically swaps them.
You look really good mixed with Mark. That's hilarious.
I think you have my face, right? On
yeah,
that one
I've got your face, and Nicole's got...
So it auto-cuts and pastes.
Yeah, I'm going to send this to... I'll forward this to you, Justin. Hold on.
I'm looking online at face swap pictures.
Mm.
Yeah, go ahead and send it to me.
These are weird. So here's one of... Who's the baby? Mom. Oh, that's your mom.
And this is a long time ago when AJ was just a kid.
Yeah. Or baby, you mean?
A baby, and it's like so freaky to do it for the baby and an adult.
So wait, you need to take our Nerdtacular shot, that huge one with everybody in it.
Oh wow, yeah.
Swap like that around.
I think that'd break it.
You would kill it.
I don't know. And the thing is sometimes it will crop the picture, like crop a person out of the picture for no particular reason. And you're like, why did it do that?
That's really weird. Now, I don't
mind. Because, like, that photo of Nicole Mark, Tom Merritt is on the right there, and it decided to crop him out of the picture.
It just took him out? That's weird. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's normally
yet
where
yet another indignity for Merritt.
been a rough month for Merritt.
Man, I'll tell you, he's getting cropped out of photos.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
That's really weird. Also, Mark's... what's with Mark's? Oh, that yellow thing is Nicole's hair.
Nicole's hair, yeah.
Oh, that's really funky.
Well, the funny thing is, I've been seeing these pictures on Twitter, and I thought it was like where you had to like
Photoshop
do it yourself. Cap is like, select the face and then move it. But this, it automatically does it for you, and it does a pretty good job. I mean, you can edit it, like you can rotate and like mirror, like flip it from the face if it to make it fit better.
Did you do it all on your phone though, right? It's all no desktop.
You can tweak it after it's done if it hasn't done a perfect job, but it's pretty well done, and it's kind of funny.
Yeah, I love it. I you know what? I don't mind a dumb app like this occasionally. I think it keeps the internet fresh. You know,
yes.
It's stupid. It's short lived. It's going to be a hoot for a minute, and then everyone's done with it. I'm fine with it. I think that's great. The more the merrier. It's like fiber in your diet. You know, you got to push that crap through. You got to get it out. Well, cool. So how many, let's see, how many horribly
how many face
missed,
swaps will I give it?
How many disfigured face swaps would you give this app?
I'll give it like a 3.5.
That's not bad. It's free, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And if you want to, the thing is it puts a stupid watermark on the bottom of the picture.
Well, we were just talking about that. Yeah.
And so if you want to get rid of that and get rid of the ads, you can pay 99 cents.
That was Justin's sign of of good.
Oh, yeah, it is. It is the internet, the most internet-y of all internet things, yeah. Is the watermark when nobody wants to pay for the actual thing.
Yeah,
exactly.
But I would guess, you know, if you have like kids, this seems like it would be crack to kids.
No,
right?
Oh yeah, for sure.
They would just be taking pictures and swapping faces, and I mean that's at least 2 hours of silliness.
Oh, Nick got months, maybe a year and a half out of that fat app where you could make yourself look
fat.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh yeah.
And then he would combine it with the make yourself look old app because you could do they're the same people and you could mix your photos and so you'd make a big fat old version of yourself. He got more out of that than, you know, I get out of most things I purchase with money. So, so yes, it's
this is right up his alley then, huh?
Totally right up his alley. What was I going to say? I was going to say something about the, crap.
What were you going to say?
No, Justin made a point about it being good for kids and I had a thought and now I can't think of it.
I have to say, I loved when Justin took over TMS that one day.
That was great. That was a great day.
The best part of what is if somebody would just isolate the right side of the audio, and then it sounds like Chin Beard is doing a podcast by himself.
I know. It would be like we did like our audio version of Garfield without Garfield. It would just be.
That's what it reminded me of.
It's a nonsense. I felt like such a boob because I know that the audio that comes out. If I just record straight off the mic is one channel, and I normally have to run it through GarageBand to flip it. But I was just so excited that we had gotten it done, and I'm like, "Oh, people are gonna want to download it. Let me get it to Scott immediately." And yeah. then I started listening to it, and I'm like, "Oh, what an ass I am."
No, well,
I was listening to my earbuds, and the left one fell out, and it was just Chin Beard like.
I like salt potatoes.
Yeah, I should have converted it, but I didn't know because I listened to it on speakers and it was fine. It's like, oh, this is great. I'm enjoying the hell out of this, but I had no idea how it sounded headphones. But yeah, it didn't matter because that was part of the charm of the pirate radio style.
It was totally pirate, right there.
Yeah, very bootleg. Know. It was great. You were like the old cable access stuff. This is what that felt like. Nice job on
that. Exactly. I know. We did our best to live up to the professionalism of the morning stream, and we failed miserably, but I think that's part of the DNA of this very show.
Do you remember, this is a side note, has nothing to do, you were talking about internet things, right? Like, you know, watermarks and things like that. Here's a side note. I just received an email from Adobe.com. I subscribe to the CC stuff, and I get all my Adobe stuff through subscription. And it's been great for me, perfect for what I do. And workspaces is a thing they used to do and it's being retired. So they're notifying people. And I was just reminded that back in the old days when I set up my first Adobe account, probably in the very, very early aughts, maybe even late 90s, sometimes you would put a fake name, you know, like using your real name now, no problem.
When you're registering stuff?
Yeah, like it would be similar to your name, but not quite the same because you were like, didn't trust the internet yet. You didn't know what this was all about yet. So you kind of didn't, you know, you were a little bit more picky.
Yeah, with a name like, you know, Johnson, you have to be careful.
Well,
oh, yeah.
Exactly. So this is how this email starts. And Justin, this has some very loose connection to you, but it starts this way. And remember, I made this name up in probably 1999 or so. Dear Skiz Justin. So apparently when I signed up for Adobe all those years ago, I am known on their records as Skiz, S-C-I-Z-Z, Justin.
Oh, Skiz Justin.
Yeah, Skiz Justin.
Gotcha, like Scott Johnson.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. See? I just, I tweaked it a little so that it wouldn't be me, but it's still.
That's funny.
Yeah.
No, I remember definitely just filling in like straight profanity in registration forms. Because it's like, also you have no idea where it's going.
Yeah.
Like at that point, it's just like, hey, like it was in the same, I don't know why you need this information file as like, remember when like you'd go to Radio Shack and they'd ask your phone number if you were going to buy batteries?
I do remember that. Yep.
You know, and you're like, no, I'm like, yeah, my number is 1-866, mind your own goddamn business.
Yeah, like I just need this LED, you bastards. What are we doing here?
Well, I remember on websites where they'd ask for an email address for like, why would you need my email address? So I just use blah at blah.com.
Oh, just to view the site. You're right.
And I'm just like,
yeah, they'd pop up with some JavaScript and say, you know, hey, thanks for visiting our site. Give us your email address before you can do anything else. It's like, are you kidding me? What was the internet doing back then? What was that about? What were we thinking?
Well, nobody had any idea. Everybody was just playing grab ass and hoping something happened.
But that was the good old days when they couldn't verify an email address, though. Remember, you could put anything in there. And
yeah, that's true. They weren't doing any checking on it. It wasn't even being checked for structure and having an at symbol or any of that.
Yeah.
It was just straight up.
But now these days, it's like, that's not a valid email address.
Yeah. You could say F off at FU dot F.
Yeah, exactly. Like my favorite fake email, skizjustin at horseparade.edu.
Skiz Justin. Brilliant. Eric, always fun to talk. How's the album doing? It's a new year. People should be buying that album.
Yeah, it is now on Google Play, so you Google people can...
You Google people. I love it. You're such an iOS guy. It's like, you Google people. You can get it now.
It's fine. I like Google. Sure. They're good.
Yeah, I love Google. I use Google services constantly. I prefer them on my iPhone, but I like, you know... Map saved my life in Arizona about 6 times. So, and I don't use that Apple map crap. It's garbage.
Eric, let me ask you a question, because I was on a long car ride yesterday, and I got obsessed with Battleheart. You ever played Battleheart?
Oh, yeah. It's a classic.
Right? Yeah. Because I've always heard about it, and I just love, and especially just to have that kind of gameplay, like in your phone. Like, I just really love it. Is there anything else that you would recommend that is like that? That is, you know, that sort of RPG melee.
Not off the top of my head.
Me neither.
Gosh, dang it! I want more.
I desire more. Do you like? Okay, that's interesting. Do you like?
Battleheart. Like, remember, Scott? That's been like years.
Battleheart was amazing.
No, it's super old. I know that it's older than Dirt.
And it'd be interesting. I mean, I didn't play it on the iPhone because it'd be kind of hard on the iPhone, isn't it? Is it doable on the iPhone?
Oh, no. It's a blast.
I can tell you that it's another game. There's a new one, kind of newish one out, that's like Battleheart meets Pokemon. It's kind of hard to explain, but you do
You talk about one?
I think I talked about it on the show, yeah. I might have. But you're training pets that are fighting with you and for you. It's sort of Pokemon style, but in real time. But you're doing that and fighting yourself all in that same exact Battleheart way.
Real time.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's cool. That's a cool little game.
Because I really feel like this engine plus like a really fun fantasy storyline could be like that would engross me for a year.
Yeah, that'd be great. You fly a lot and stuff. What else could you be doing with yourself than playing that on a plane? That'd be great.
Yeah.
That's way better than throwing up in first class.
So, come on. To each their own. Skiz.
That's true. Skiz Justin if you're nasty.
I have a quick Steven Seagal story before I go.
Oh, great, dude. Great.
So one of my TV commercials, we had a stuntman that we needed use of. Great guy. He's been in Kill Bill and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Amazing guy. Anyway, he told me about one of his mentor was doing head of the stunts in a Steven Seagal movie.
Yeah.
In one of the action scenes, Steven Seagal wasn't pulling his punches when he was in a fight scene with the other stunt guys.
He was like full on decking people?
Yeah, he wasn't pulling, because you're supposed to pull your punches, you know.
Right.
And so he's full on decking the stunt guys. And this guy came on set and said, "Dude, what are you doing? You got to stop doing that." And Steven's like, "What are you going to do? Come on, come at me, come at me."
Really? So
this old dude, yeah. This old dude somehow, like, I don't know, he's like Mr. Tai Chi, like knows all the pressure points or whatnot, grabbed Steven Seagal, put him in a headlock, triggered something where he shat his pants.
Yes! What? This is the greatest story ever told.
And then laid him flat on the ground and then took a Polaroid picture of it.
Dude, it triggered like a brown note or something. You don't have this. You don't have this photo, do you?
No. And took a Polaroid and then walked off the set and quit. And then like got in his car, was started to drive off the studio lot. And I guess one of the executive producers ran out and said, I'm going to need that Polaroid. And the guy's like, not a fat chance. And
oh my gosh. Yeah. You want to poop your pants and have a picture of you taking too, buddy? That's what I'd say. Holy crap.
This sounds on the edge of urban legend.
Yeah, I know. It does. But he says this stunt guy, I guess, who trained underneath this old guy said...
Dude, there's a confirmation link. Irony Man just put it in the chat room. Listen to this. Judo Gene LaBelle confirms choking Steven Seagal until Seagal pooped himself. This was posted on 3/12/12, so this is 2012. He said he confirmed this story was true. 79-year-old LaBelle, 79, who was cage side for something, whatever, blah, 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 said where the subject again came up about Steven Seagal in this story. He says, basically, according to him, he choked Seagal, who, according to legend, had claimed he couldn't be choked out. Seagal pooped an entire steak dinner, which is probably not the not the unique psychological reaction he's used to. Well, if a guy soils himself, you can't criticize him because they can. What? They just had a nice big dinner an hour before. You might have a tendency to do that, says this old man. Blah, 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 something, something. Yeah, he can. He's, this whole article says that what you just told us is true. So there you go.
Although, to be fair, and as the resident journalist in air quotes, I will say that the link below says Steven Seagal denies ever pooping his pants.
Well, see, now I don't believe that either. Because
so now he says, not only did I not poop my pants at this man's hand, I have never pooped my pants.
Not once. Not even as a child.
I hope this becomes a campaign issue.
Yeah. Not even as a child. As a 1.5-year-old, he would rip off that diaper and hang it over the edge. He would not even poop those pants. That's fantastic, dude. You made my day.
This guy says there was never – Seagal says there was never any confrontation with him ever in any way, shape, or form, and I swear to God on my children, and they are the most precious things in my life. If he is saying that, then he is a pathological scumbag liar. I keep answering that question. Either he made up this lie or somebody made it up.
Wow. Here's what I want to say about that. Picture it now, out in the East Garden at the Governor's Mansion, big press conference, Arizona, right?
Yeah.
Governor Seagal, can you please speak to rumors that you shat your pants at the hands of a 79-year-old man? Like, what are you going to say in that case? What are you going to do? That may hold him back. That may lose him the...
This is so good. This is amazing. This really does need to be, like, because... Like, it'd be so good if this just derailed his entire campaign.
For a guy that, let's say you are on the fence. Steven Seagal is or isn't a liar, okay?
Yeah.
You read the first paragraph of his IMDb page, and you might actually think he is the one writing it. So it says this. Steven Seagal is a striking and somewhat boyishly handsome-looking man. often with ponytail and usually impeccably dressed action star who burst into the martial arts film scene in 1988 in the fast-paced Warner Brothers film Above the Law. The enigmatic Seagal commenced his martial arts training at the age of 7 under the tutelage, blah, 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 and it goes on like that. It is the most glowing portrayal of this dude ever. And there are things in here that are dubious. So I'm going with he shat his pants. That's what I'm going with. Eric, always a pleasure. That made my day. Bring more stories like that next week, will you?
Awesome.
Stay out of trouble.
Thanks, guys.
Bye. All right, man. That leaves us only one thing. Are you ready for this? Emails.
Yeah.
Emails brought to you by...
Well done.
I've given very little warning. And Steven Seagal pooped.
Here we go. Current Geek. Get subbed at currentgeek.com. Now,
next week's guests include Patrick Beja from France and Mr. Brian Ibbett from not France, from here, from Arvada, Colorado. They will be our guests with Tom Merritt and I this weekend, Friday, 4:00 Mountain Time for live Current Geek. CurrentGeek.com for details. All right. Got one email to read today and then we'll get the hell out of here. Ironically, still earlier than we usually do on the Tuesday shows when you're on.
Yes.
Note that. I want everyone to note that here in the notes. just another copy, sir. Sometimes mail just won't do. Dear Bot and Scryon, in response to your report on dogs pooping facing north, we had this scientific study.
Yeah, this made the rounds. That dogs align themselves with the poles, yes. Right? Except in magnetic storms.
Correct. Or other circumstances that may affect their ability to detect it. But yes, generally speaking, if circumstances are proper, a dog will poop facing north. He says, I must say poo. My wife and I have 8 dogs. After hearing the story on TMS show the other day, we decided to have a little experiment. I'm a little worried he has 8 dogs. That's a lot of dogs.
Yeah, that's
that seems like a lot to me.
Too much.
Over a two-day period, I walked our dogs no less than 7 times. After 56 walkies, only once did one of my dogs, Nabiki is its name, a 14-year-old Sharpei, is that what they're called?
Yeah.
Mix, face north during nature's call. My corgi likes to face east or south. The others poo almost any direction but north. So the study of dogs pooping facing north, I have to say, is a load of poo, says Ray. Well, here's the question. How much can, like, I think a lot of people thought this. They went, oh, that study's interesting. I'm going to go walk the dog a bunch of times and see if I can get kind of a, you know.
A sense
of what's going on. And I wonder how many people were like, well, this isn't happening at all. I mean, I check with my dog and Daisy doesn't seem to face any particular direction. She just kind of, in fact, it kind of depends on which direction the sidewalk is going.
Yeah.
That she'll do. So I don't know what to say about this other than maybe Ray's right. Maybe it is much ado about poo. Or maybe not.
You know, there is a friend of mine, a bunch of my friends used to live in an apartment. And this one of the roommates, Dave, had this saying when everybody was playing video games that, remember, guys, no matter who wins, you're all losers.
All right.
And when I hear this story and think of the fact that there were dozens, if not hundreds, if not thousands of people who read that story on the internet and then were taking closer than usual attention, or paying more than the usual amount of attention on where and how their dogs pooped,
yeah,
then we have all lost. We are not scientists. We are simply dopes watching dogs squeeze out turds on the sidewalk.
Everybody needs a Dave, by the way. I like that friend.
Yes.
I don't feel like I've had that guy in my life personally, like physically in proximity, since I was maybe in high school. I feel like I need a Dave in my life.
There we go. He's actually gone. None of our friends can find him, and I'm sure he's out there somewhere. So if you know Dave Heligas of Fort Lauderdale, Florida, go ahead and hit me up.
Yeah.
At Justin R. Young on Twitter.
If you're in a weird, kind of dark, seedy casino in Mesquite, Nevada one night, and off on the other side of the room, you hear a guy say, you know, no matter how who wins, you all lose. If you hear that, let us know.
He was a very unique guy. If you ever, during the early aughts, downloaded an episode of Seinfeld without commercials, there's a chance that Dave edited the commercials. Like, that was what he did. He would edit out commercials from television shows to upload to wherever. I mean, I guess it would be like Grokster and stuff like that back in the day.
Oh, wow.
But no, he was a very unique individual. Also, he would watch a ton of things by himself in his room, and the loudest by himself laugher I have ever come across.
Wow. Like on his own laugher? What do you mean?
Oh, like, so you're just sitting, you know, like, I was actually, this is a long story, but I was living on their couch for a summer. Mm. Also, in a house of 5 people, I was the only one with a job. But that's a story for another day.
Good Lord.
So I'm trying to go to sleep in the living room. And from his was the only room on the first floor of this apartment. And you would just hear crackling like a thunderclap through the apartment.
I really like Dave.
Just watching by himself. Nobody else is there. A full-throated belly laugh.
Wow. So he's the only honest internet user when he says LOL, probably.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah.
He was the one dude who was not horse appling.
He was he was literally laughing out loud. That's amazing. I'd like to know this, Dave. Tell me more of this, Dave.
The next time I'm on, I'll regale you with more stories of Dave.
More Dave stories. That may be tomorrow, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, it's Tuesday.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, no, you're coming on.
No, I am on in my normal Tuesday slot. Yeah. But thank you very much for thinking of me for the co-host.
Oh, it's been awesome, dude. A huge thanks for hanging out, and it's just a sensible thing to do. It's not like it was a hard decision. It was it's the right way to do it and the tasty way to do it or something like that. No, it was a super huge pleasure, and as always, Justin is all about all kinds of other things as well. So you should tell people where they can go find those things.
NSFW on Tuesdays at live.twit.tv. And then other than that, at Justin R. Young on Twitter. And thank you again to everybody. Listen, the Go Home Santa book was a huge success for me. I very much enjoyed it, and a lot of the support came from the Frog Pants community. And I want to thank you guys all for that. And I'll let you guys know I am working on a longer form, like a novel or novella length story. So
whoa, look at you!
I'll be. You know, I don't know what I realized, Scott, was that I really wound up taking the book a lot more seriously after I contacted you to go to Carter for the art.
Yeah.
So I might be in contact with you to just start the art so I can finish the story.
I have great interest in that. So that'd be fantastic. Also, check out the comic today, everybody. I think you might enjoy it. It's called Where Isn't Waldo? And I had fun with it, and people should check it out. And it's real stupid, and that's why I like it. So check it out at myextralife.com, because that reminded me of that. All right, that's going to do it for us. Thank you, everybody, for helping us out. AlphaGeekRadio.com for the Shoutcast stream. Gnomewise was also in Vegas. He runs that for us, and he's amazing. Huge thanks to him, as always. Big thanks to Scott Fletcher for all the voice work he does on the show. If you want to find out more about this, find show notes, all that kind of stuff, frogpants.com/TMS, on Facebook /TheMorningStream. Email us, themorningstream@gmail.com, and on Twitter, Morning Stream, Scott Johnson, Coverville, and of course, Justin R. Young. That's it. We're going to do another song here. So, I really like Reliant K, and I like their covers. I think their covers are their best work. I think everything else is okay. I found out, I didn't know this, but they're like a big Christian band, and some of that stuff's all right, but it's, I don't know, it's not my...
Oh, really?
Not really my cheese. Yeah, it's okay. They're kind of like, who do they remind me of? They're so much more mainstream than a straight-up Christian band. It's not like Stryper or something, but...
Yeah.
Like, back in the day, what was the name of the...
There's like other kind of genre?
Well, there's other people that have broken out, and I would call them kind of alternative... You know what they're like? They're like...
Oh, you mean like Christian bands that have gone mainstream?
Yeah, that are now more known for their mainstream work.
Vertical Horizon was one of them.
Yeah, that's another one.
Creed was probably the biggest one.
Totally Creed, yep. Yeah. These are Creed 2.0, really. Best I can tell. But even Brian didn't know that they were had their roots there. So it was just kind of interesting because I tried to track down some other stuff, and it turns out I like their cover work the best, which is fine, I think, because I really like their version of Dr. Worm. Originally,
oh, that's great.
Yeah, originally penned and performed by They Might Be Giants, and we like it a lot. So here it is. Thank you, everybody, for being here. We'll see you guys tomorrow. It's Dr. Worm. Bye.
They call me Dr. Worm. Good morning. How are you? I'm Dr. Worm. I'm interested in things. I'm not a real doctor, but I am a real worm. I am an actual worm. I live like a worm. I like to play the drums. I think I'm getting good, but I can handle criticism. I'll show you what I know, and you can tell me. Dr. Worm. Good morning, how are you? I'm Dr. Worm. I'm interested in things. I'm not a real doctor, but I am a real worm. I am an actual worm. I live like a worm.
drums. I think I'm getting good, but I can handle criticism. I'll show you what I know, and you can tell me if you think I'm getting better on the drums. I'm not a real doctor, but they call me Dr.
About this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
How about a boobie?